With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's the Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Underdog Podcast, where we talk G5 football and only G5 football for Underdog Dynasty. And this is another episode of Joe Talk, and it's me, Joe Serpico, and on the other side, it is Joe Broback. What's up, my friend?
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm looking forward to my trip to Europe. I was telling you before we started
this. Yeah, you're not going until August. Why don't you just relax, okay?
Got to buy that stuff now, man, so I don't have to pay an arm and a leg, so I'm not stuck over there. But so the game plan for this is to continue our weekly previews inside the conference. And for this week, we are up on SMU, so we are pleased to be joined by Phil Mayer of the Pony Stampede. That is the home of SMU at 24/7 Sports. Phil, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, but so, yeah, once again, thanks for jumping on. I know it was kind of a short notice, but so I guess the biggest question that we want to ask, dating back to last season, is I know Joe and I were kind of really big on Ben Hicks coming into the year. He was, at least I thought, was going to smash most of the records inside of the conference. He did break a lot of SMU's records. So what was the situation last year? Was it a thing with Sonny Dykes, Rhett Lashley, that didn't really work out? Because it's obviously led to him transferring out and following Morris up to Arkansas.
You know, I think it was more just Hicks's play took a step back, and that goes back a lot to the losses of Courtland Sutton and Trey Quinn, who left for the NFL. And with Hicks, he relied on those guys a lot. They're definitely go-to targets. On third downs, Quinn was just money out of the slot, just getting open all the time. And then Courtland Sutton was great as a deep threat. So he had some trouble adjusting to life without them a bit. And then, you know, I think a part of it was Coach Dykes and Coach Lashley's system. It's honestly, it wasn't that different from what Chad Morris ran when he was there, but just some of those throws didn't really get there, and they didn't quite jive from the beginning, which you could see with bringing in Will Brown in week three in Michigan. So I'd say I'd put mostly the responsibility of that on Quinn and Sutton leaving, and just having two NFL receivers is hard to recover from having two of them depart.
So now, obviously Hicks is gone, and we have, you know, a competition going on, but it seems like the quarterback positions seems like it's kind of settled to many at this point. Is the quarterback position settled, or is there a closer competition than many people realize?
Well, Sonny Dykes is very big on competition, and even sort of when you think you have a guy penciled in, just making sure that he knows his spot isn't safe and he has to go hard in practice every day. And we did see that last year with Hicks, and it was pretty shocking to some to see a two-year starter get benched as early as the third week after a few pick sixes. But I'd say that once Shane Buechele does show up, the job is as good as his. Like I said, Coach Dykes will definitely have everybody competing, but just talent-wise, I think Buechele will be way ahead of anyone else SMU has right now. Will Brown is still an intriguing prospect, but he's really raw, and some of his reads are just not at all where they'd need to be for him to be playing every week. So I would be very surprised if Shane Buechele is not starting week one.
Okay, so I guess we kind of transitioned into this season. So what are those expectations for Sonny Dykes in this new year? Because they have a lot of a lot of pieces around Boucher to work with.
Yeah, they do, for sure. And that starts out with Reggie Robertson and James Prochet, who are two just absolute stud receivers. I mentioned having trouble adjusting from Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn, and I don't think they're quite as good as those guys, both guys getting picked in the NFL draft. But Prochet was one of the better receivers in the AAC last year, putting up crazy numbers in some games, double-digit catches frequently. He had north of 150 yards against Michigan. And Reggie Robertson is just lightning fast, and he was slowed down by an ankle injury that he suffered in week one and played well, but I don't think was ever really able to get his full explosion back. And watching him this spring, it's just crazy. You'll see him catch a pretty routine pass, and he'll just run by the defender and be gone. So those two will be big for Shane Bouchel, and he's going to be targeting them a lot. And I think they're the best receiver duo in the conference, and they're going to both put up some crazy numbers if they can stay healthy.
Okay, quick before I ask my next question. Joe has trouble saying names. He can't say Ken Niumatalolo. So it's Shane Bouchel, correct? Not Shane Boucher?
Yeah, it's Bouchel. But
come
I can't
on, Joe.
God, I am terrible at pronouncing
names. Bouchel's easy, too. Anyways. So I guess one thing that was very surprising last year is, so in 2017, Xavier Jones rushed for 1,000 yards. And then last year, it was almost like he wasn't himself. I know at injuries might have had something to do with it, but what happened to him last year?
No, yeah, I'd really say it was injuries as the main thing. And he got hurt in before week one, actually, and they tried him out against UNT, but he was just never really himself. And he sat a couple games, he played a bit, and really just didn't put up the same numbers. But another issue was the offensive line wasn't as good, which was just really a big issue with SMU's running game as a whole. And no one really ran the ball that well. Of SMU's three running backs, Jones, Braden West, and Kamon Freeman, for the whole season, Freeman came on a bit at the end. West was good for a bit in the beginning, but they had a very inexperienced offensive line. They dealt with a lot of injuries, shuffled guys around. They lost Evan Brown before the season, who's now in the New York Giants, and he was huge for them. So I think if Jones gets healthy, he's a candidate to bounce back in a pretty big way. But also, if the offensive line can improve, and they have a couple guys who look like they have stable spots in there, and it's still a question mark, but last year was pretty much a disaster for most of the season. So if that gets better and Jones is healthy, I think we could see him where he was in 2017.
Yeah, I think that's a guy that a lot of people inside the conference think could really have a bounce back season this year. But let's switch to the other side of the ball. It's strange to say this, that SMU's defenses last year, it wasn't, I don't want to say it was absolutely terrible, because they did play with a lot of young guys and are playing with a coordinator that a lot of people think could have a significant coaching future. So I'm kind of curious, because at the same time, like, the numbers don't really back up what you see on, you know, I mean, they look better on film then you look at the numbers, you're like, I don't know what to make of that. So what was the biggest problem on defense?
Yeah, I'd just say inconsistency. And I mean, you see the potential is there, because you look at some of those games, like against Tulane, SMU pulled out a win mostly because Tulane just couldn't move the ball at all in the second half, and that gave Ben Hicks and SMU time to come back. And then against Houston, Kevin Kane went to a 3-3-5, which he hadn't done before, and looked really smart, because Houston wasn't able to move the ball as well as many thought they could against that defense. So you have seen them play well. There were just days where they didn't have it. And I mean, against UConn, SMU gave up a ton of points and ended up winning in a shootout, which shouldn't even happen against UConn. That game shouldn't be close. And UConn was able to move the ball pretty much at will. So I really think it's just about being able to come in and play well every single week. And that'll fix the numbers, because you mentioned on tape it's a lot better. and you see some of these games where the pass rush is working and they're shutting down the run, and it looks like a pretty good defense, but then the next week they'll just fall apart. And as guys get more time in the system, and you know, another year with Kevin Cain being the defensive coordinator at this level, a little more experience on that end, I think it it should be better and should mirror more of what you saw on the tape when the team was playing well. Now, I will say that the big issue in my mind is cornerback, because Jordan Wyatt was the only cornerback with real experience for SMU last year, and he graduated. So they have Robert Hayes, who started half the games last year as their number one, and then JUCO transfer Sam Westfall is the number two right now. They picked up a transfer from Arkansas, Chevin Callaway, who's waiting on a waiver to see if he can play this year. But there's a lot of uncertainty at that position, and we all know how important cornerbacks are. So that's the one sort of X factor position where if some of those guys can step up, I can see SMU's defense being pretty good this year.
So SMU's they had one of the better recruiting classes in the conference this year. Is that a trend that we can expect from Sonny Dykes? And who are some names that we should keep an eye on going forward?
You know, I'd say it is a trend that we can expect to continue, because Sonny, he's recruiting different from Chad. He's able to pull some of these guys away from bigger programs, and he's also branching out more. And Chad Morris's thing was recruiting in Texas. And while I think that was good for a bit and allowed them to sort of concentrate in one state, Sonny now has pulled a couple guys out of Arkansas already in 2020, and one in Oklahoma in 2020. But as far as the 2019 class, I'd say that one guy to watch is running back TJ McDaniel out of South Lake Carroll. And this is a guy who is just every coach's dream. He's a super nice kid. I've gotten to know him a bit, and goes hard all the time, is willing to do whatever it takes, whether that's special teams or anything like that, and also just possesses blazing speed. And he's really a leader in the recruiting class, and just a guy who has the kind of work ethic that you often see pan out. Another one is Calvin Wiggins, who's a wide receiver out of Byron Nelson and Trophy Club. And this guy's just got a great size and great speed. And SMU beat out TCU for him, which tells you that Sonny Dykes is recruiting pretty well. But he's going to be a great deep threat, I think, and might even be able to contribute as a true freshman. On the defensive end, one guy name is Nelson Paul, who's a bit under the radar, but SMU and defensive ends coach Randall Joyner pulled him out of Florida on early signing day. And he's not a kid that's going to blow you away with his athleticism, but great character, and was just insanely productive, getting close to 20 sacks in each of his last 2 years as a junior and a senior. So those are some guys that I think could contribute right away. And then the big long-term guy from the class is offensive lineman from Missouri, Danielson Ike, who SMU and Oklahoma were battling it out until signing day, and Sonny Dykes managed to pull it off in what was just a great showing of his recruitment. And that guy's one of the better kids that SMU's recruited in a while, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. So those are some names to watch in the 2019 class, and I think Sonny Dykes will continue to recruit well.
All right, and then I guess we can end it on this note. So I know Joe knows this for sure, that I was really on the SMU bandwagon last year. I thought it was pretty much a given that they were going to make a bowl game last year, especially heading into that game against Tulsa, so I was a little bit disappointed that it didn't happen. So looking at this year's schedule, though, it's a little bit harder to imagine that. So what are your predictions for a record heading into 2019?
You know, if you ask me to pick, like you said, it's their schedule is a little more balanced. They don't have an FCS school, and they don't have UConn. But I think having some more stability at the quarterback position with Shane Buechel should really help out. And for that reason, I'm going to say 7-5. In the regular season and being able to get over that hump and make a bowl game. There are plenty of losable games, but I also think there are plenty of winnable games. So it's just going to depend on how SMU does against the North Texases and Arkansas States and schools like that, which SMU can definitely beat, but also are no guarantees. So, but I'm going to stake put my flag down in support of Shane Buechele and what SMU's able to do on both sides with a second year in the system. And I'd say that the program is pretty optimistic that it can improve from 5-7 next year and play in a bowl game. So I'll go with 7-5.
Yeah, I agree. I think those first two games are going to be, you know, what makes or break the bowl mark for them. Bill, again, I want to thank you for joining us. And before you go, if you want to give a plug to yourself, the site, whatever you would like to do there.
Yeah, for sure. You can follow us on Twitter at SMU247 and go to our website at ponystampede.com. It is a great bargain if you're an SMU fan and you aren't already subscribed for whatever reason. But we have tons of VIP content every week, stuff on recruiting and football and basketball. And we're really all over it. And no one really covers SMU that well outside of us. So if you're an SMU fan or just an AAC fan that wants to keep up on conference foes or anything like that, definitely check us out. My Twitter's Mayor_Phillip if you want to give me a follow. And, yeah, that's it.
All right. Phil, thanks again, man. We totally appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, Joe and Joe, thanks for having me. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. All right, I guess now let's just continue on here and do our preview here. And so he kind of said it a little bit, 5-7 team last year, went 4-4 in the conference. I didn't realize, I guess I'm just because I'm just forgetting everything now already, but the record in the past 5 years is 20-41.
I know.
I guess I just totally forgot about the years where they were just really bad when they came in the AAC.
Yeah.
I just totally, like, forgot about it. And I guess maybe that's part of me just always being on their side. I don't know. Like, I've always – SMU has been that team since I've started this AAC podcast that I've always backed. But, yeah, it kind of blew my mind to see that mark, 20-41. Not what we really have
You know what's almost like more surprising is that they with Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn, like they really weren't that good.
I mean, say that again.
So even with Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn.
Okay, I heard something else for a second. I was like, but so yeah, I agree. I mean, the record, when you look at it, it's true. It
was proves 2017 that they left. That was their last Quinn Sutton. Let me look. Last year they had two receivers over 1,000 yards, and particularly at 800, and they went 7-6.
Well, what'd they go the year before? Because a bunch of those names were there too. And then we talked about for Ben Hicks before. Like I said, he owns some big numbers inside of the conference, and he just dipped out before he left. But yeah, not a whole lot to show for it, really. Other than it got Chad Morris a job.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think we both agree that he left too soon.
Well, yeah, we said that last year too.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah, we said it last year.
How do you get an SEC job after going 7-6?
That's hey.
I know it's Arkansas, but still, it's an SEC job. You went 7-6 at the AAC.
I have no arguments with what you just said there, my friend.
Man. Yuck.
All right, so he talked about that offense. I guess we can talk about it a little bit more from the little bit that we do know about this team. So tell me his name again. Shane?
No, you Buechele. Say it. You say
Buechele.
It.
Buechele. And
what's Navy's coach's name?
Kenny. Oh, my God. Now my tongue's already twisted trying to think about it.
Niumatalolo.
I just did it.
I feel like I'm teaching a third grader how to read.
It's not phonetic. I'm just going to go with that argument.
It is, though. It's about as easy as it gets for a difficult name. I'm going to start mispronouncing names.
I don't even mean to do it purposely. I'm 100% serious about that either.
Arkansas State is the first game.
So, like he kind of said with that game, so Arkansas State, for me, is one of those teams heading in this year I think could have big numbers for a G5 school. I think Arkansas State has a legit shot to win double digits.
Are they your team in the Sun Belt?
I think I just said that, possibly.
But did you say it? You're big into this non-committal stuff. Like, oh, they might be my team, but they're not.
I need to see the numbers that I've been complaining to Bovada about for not providing me yet, so I can write this article.
Who needs an article when you have a podcast?
I still need the numbers.
Go on a whim, man.
Well, I just said it. I think that they can go win double-digit games this year.
No, that's
Arkansas State. Right. I think they can. Justin Hansen, that offense. A-State, they've always been one of my favorite G5 teams, too, for some reason. Well, that's because of me and my roommate back in the day. Then so, I guess, what do you think in that game? Win, loss?
Well, I think if SMU is supposed to be better this year, which I don't really know. Honestly, I'm more just kind of unsure about SMU more than anything. I know you like them, but it seems like they have the talent to be better. But I haven't seen anything that tells me they're going to do a lot better than they did last year, and they're going to win 8-plus games. And you and I were talking about this before, is that their projected wins is 6.1, and we both kind of said, I don't know how I'm going to find 6 wins on the schedule. But I think if they're supposed to be better this year, and it seems like they are headed that way, but I have no idea, they should win this game. This is a game that I know Arkansas State could be good, but They really need to win this one. And after losing to North Texas last year, I'm not super confident about it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I think that's part of the concern, too, because it's North Texas in week 2 there. So we could talk about SMU being 0-2 right out of the gate. Because, yeah, Arkansas State, like I said, I have big hopes on them, but I've said a million times on this podcast, I have big hopes on SMU, too, so what makes it hard is the fact, obviously, it's on the road. And then the following week, when you see what North Texas did to them last year, and North Texas didn't lose a whole lot. North Texas is going to be another one of those really good G5 teams this year, actually. So I think one thing is for certain, that at least in those two games, we're going to see a ton of offense between those three teams.
You know what's scary is that the Arkansas State and the USF game, both on the road, have the same win probability.
I noticed that as well.
That's crazy. Sorry, not to get too far ahead. I just saw that.
You're always thinking ahead.
I'm trying, man. My wife doesn't think so.
So wait, you're saying they win which game? The first one.
Arkansas State, yeah.
You're saying they're winning Arkansas State. All right, I'm gonna give that a loss.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm gonna be high on SMU and give them a loss in the first week.
Because I do really like Arkansas State this year. Oh, I think Arkansas State. I just said they're gonna win double digit games, so yeah. I can't just.
They're going double-digit game. First game, loss. Don't care.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Fine. That's fair. I'll let you all have right. that.
Then I can't say that they're going to – then they got to lose 2 more in the next 11 weeks, all right?
Whatever.
Now, the following week, and this one's the one that's a little bit harder for me to say, but I'm going to give them a win against North Texas, even though I really like Mason Fine this year too.
I think it's going to be tough for North Texas to win two in a row against SMU, especially now that it's it's at home too.
Yeah, well, yeah, that adds to it too. I mean, these games, you know, in the state of Texas, you know, I think they get a little bit more amped up too, because we know a lot of these guys, you know, they come from the area as well. I mean, even okay, we could just dive in there next week. It's one against Texas State. At least me personally, like from what I've seen from Texas State from the past, let's just say 5 years, they're not even on an SMU level right now.
No.
Okay, so I think that's where I'm a 2-1, and you are
3-0. Wait, I just said it's gonna be hard to win six games, and they're at 3-0. I have them.
You have them already at 3-0. You're way more optimistic than I am. Maybe you're bigger on them than I am.
Well, I wasn't the one that said that I'm high on SMU. I just, you know, I'm pretty level headed with them. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they're 2-1.
Hot take.
No, remember I said don't say hot take. Here, okay, you know what? Public service announcement. If you have a hot take on Twitter, just say what you have to say. Don't tell me hot take and then a colon and then tell me your hot take. Just tell me your hot take and get it over with.
I just wanted you to do that.
God.
I just wanted you to do that. That's
and don't
just
do
that
mildly hot take or unpopular take. No, just it's a take. Type it. I don't need you to tell me what it is. I will determine if it's a hot take, or whoever is reading it will determine it's a hot take. Let's put an end to this nonsense.
Or a freezing cold take. I do love that. I do love that account.
I like when people have things to say. Like, don't be afraid to say something, because guess what? In the end, no one's going to care. Charles Barkley just said something about the Warriors. Oh, he blamed the Warriors training staff, or the Warriors, he said, for making Kevin Durant play. Okay, dude, first of all, the people that are doing that job have way more experience in what they're doing, so you have no idea what you're talking about. But do people tune him out? No, they don't. So just say what you have to say. Who cares if it's stupid? In the end, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, Skip Bayless and Stephen A made a living off of it.
They still do. Well, you may not like it, but it works. It makes people money. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Joe Talk.
Hey, how about that? All right.
That's what I'm here for, buddy. All right, so Texas State, we're going to win, right? TCU, we're just going to chuck that up as a loss, right? Yeah, we don't even have to talk about it that much.
Nope.
Yeah, especially the way that TCU blasted them last year, 42-12.
Yep.
And that was at home. So that game could get ugly. I think the one thing you know, we could hope for is maybe SMU does manage to put up more than 12 points.
Well, 2 years ago, it was a high-scoring game.
I
don't remember what the score was, but it was.
But I know they went back and forth for a while. I do remember that.
Yep.
And then the following week is another road game against USF. I noticed with their schedule, like, man, they don't. A lot of teams in the conference got some breaks early on. They play right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
In that hot weather too. You would think that since it's Texas, they hold off where it gets a little cooler. I guess not. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking that.
Well, maybe they're just used to it, so they don't really care.
I guess that could be that too. All right. So then, like I said, the following week at USF. We'll get to USF soon in our previews. But they're going to be a hard team, at least to figure out what's going on with them kind of defensively. I guess, kind of know what to make of them offensively. But kind of like you said earlier, it is intriguing that they have the same winning percentage as Arkansas State, at least according to Bill Connolly's numbers. That number, 37%.
I'm going to say SMU loses.
Yeah, with that being a road game, I think I have to go that route as well.
Do you have them at 2-3?
I have them at 2-3, but then I have them coming hot. Don't you worry.
All right. I have them at 3-2, so.
I have them coming hot in a second. All right, so the following week is a redemption game.
It's on my birthday.
Against Tulsa. Your birthday's 10-5?
10-5, baby.
That's my mother's birthday, too.
I think. Oh, I knew it was a good day.
think I got that date right. I'm not good with dates.
Oh, jeez. You can't just throw that out there with uncertainty. Especially your mom. Come on, man.
I'm pretty sure it's 10. No, I'm kidding. It's 10-5.
What's your mom's name?
Elsa.
Elsa, your son apologizes because he should know your birthday without any doubt. Mom, if it is on 10-5, I am honored to share a birthday with you.
Mom, even though I know you're not listening to this episode, I know your birthday's on 10-5.
Don't doubt your mother. She loves you.
She's not listening to this podcast. Trust me. She tells me that all the time. Okay, so Tulsa, chalking that up as a win because they got to make up for that embarrassment to knock them out of a bowl game last year in the final game of the year. Think they're going to have a little chip on their shoulder there. It'll be at home. I know they got a new quarterback, but the rest of the team is going to come out there and stick it to them.
So,
and we've already talked about, I don't think either one of us are really high on Tulsa this year. So,
no, and I can't remember what I said for this game at Tulsa, but I found it. So it was 2 years ago.
I can't remember what I ate yesterday. Can you think I remember the podcast we did 2 weeks ago?
That's true. So SMU beat Tulane 2 years ago to prevent Tulane from going to a bowl game. And Tulsa, they beat Tulsa and SMU played in the last game of the season, right? Last year?
Yep.
And Tulsa beat them out. So maybe Tulsa goes 5-0. Who does Tulsa play last?
I can't give you that answer, but I know the end game for SMU this year is Tulane once again, you know? So
hold on.
Maybe it's SMU knocking out Tulane this year.
Perfect. So here's what's going to happen. So 2 years ago, SMU stops Jonathan Banks on the 1-inch line to prevent them from going to a bowl game. Tulsa beats SMU to prevent them from going to a bowl game. Tulsa's going to go 5-7 this year because ECU is going to beat them in the last game. Keep that trend going.
There it is.
I like it.
Joe is the ECU homer. I am the SMU guy.
Like it. Okay, SMU is going to win this game, though. On your mom's birthday.
Then they get 2 weeks off for a home game against Temple. Can't believe I'm about to do this, but...
You're going to give them a... No, don't you dare.
I'm giving them a dub against my Owls.
Yuck. I'm giving them an L.
You're giving them an L in that game.
Yeah.
Reasons being, I'm worried about Temple this year.
I've gotten in your head.
New head coach, lost a couple pieces on the big pieces on the offensive side of the ball, lost some really big pieces on the defensive side of the ball. I'm a little worried about my boys.
Yeah, I am too. So I'll take credit for making you worry about your own team, but I looked at I looked at it the other day and I just thought, oh, we're doing our position previews, and I kept looking through where Temple's rankings we have them, and it's not promising.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm worried. I do think that we're giving, I think we just put it out the other day, the offensive line is going to be a strength for them, and they always have solid guys on our defensive line. That, I don't know, it just seems to be like a rotation of those guys managing to get in the NFL. But I'm just more concerned about last year. Their defensive backfield was great with all the guys they had back there, and they're all gone. It's going to be a bunch of guys that are going to get a ton of playing time to figure it out. And with the new coaching staff, you just don't know.
Wow.
The linebackers will be pretty beastly, though, when we get to that portion of our previews.
That's true.
So I'm a little bit worried. With this being a game at SMU, you got to take that it's also – they will have 2 weeks off to prepare for that game. Temple's got to fly all the way from Philly to Dallas. That's a hell of a hike. I don't care if you're 18, 20. It's a good hike.
Man. I'm worried about you now.
Wow, being smart sometimes.
So what do you have SMU at?
I have them at 4-3. And you have them at what? You have them at 4-3 as well now, right? You give them Temple a win. Okay.
Yeah, 4-3. Yep.
All right, then I thought this was a little bit interesting. In the next game is it's kind of a short turnaround after that Temple game where they go on the road to play Houston. But I checked Houston's schedule as well to see if they had the same situation. They do, but I think there's a huge difference when you are SMU playing against Temple and then when you're Houston playing against UConn.
Little bit.
Now, one thing that you can say is the next game for Houston is UCF. So maybe they overlook SMU and maybe SMU pulls off a miracle again.
Yeah, but I think SMU plays next.
Well, yeah, they're going to get smashed.
No one's overlooking anybody.
Let's talk a little bit about that game last year, that Houston game.
Oh, do we have to?
I mean, just for a half a second.
Oh.
And then the other thing, so we talked about before the show, but I think it's kind of a weird number that the Houston game is at 39% for a win whatever he has these things as.
Win probability,
yeah. I think that's I don't know, that's at compared to some of the other numbers, it's close to the same number as USF on the road and Arkansas State on the road.
That's true. That's weird. I don't like that.
And then if you jump to the next week where you got Memphis, it goes all the way down to 16.
Yeah, but that's because Memphis has way more stability than Houston, USF, and well, Arkansas State's just different, but Houston and USF.
Yeah, I don't know. That
it is weird, though.
That is. I mean, it's just kind of weird how those numbers kind of work out. I mean, we talked about before we started here, we don't know exactly what goes into his formula, but it kind of blew my mind how these numbers start to change like that. And with Houston being so close to Arkansas State and USF.
Well, and SMU always
you and I both think that, sorry, not to cut you off, but I think both of us agree that Houston, we are bigger on heading in this year than the Bulls.
Yeah, but SMU seems to always play Houston tough, and last year they beat them. So, and the 2 years before that, they didn't beat that? No, I'm thinking of Tulsa. Well, regardless, SMU's played Houston tough and gave them issues, so I'm almost not surprised, but at the same time I am, because it's like USF is just in such a different place than Houston is.
Yeah, I have no arguments with it, but give me a win or a loss.
Loss.
So you've got them at
4-4.
4-4. I'm going 4-4 as well.
Oh, I was about to lose my mind.
Come on now. And then the following week, Memphis. Again, I mean, can they shock them? Yes. Will they? No. 4-5.
4-5.
Now is when they go on their run. I think you and I can both agree. If they come to this part of the season, with this record that we both have them at 4-5 here, you feel pretty confident about them getting a bowl game?
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, no. I've just realized who's there. It's your team, ECU. All right, I guess let's just go start that with that one. So what do you give of that game?
Oh, see, this is where I want to know what I said for hold on. Let me look at ECU's schedule. We're all our haters that remember everything that we say. Let's see.
They're crawling out the woodwork right now.
Let's see.
today, Junior.
Shut up, okay? You just shut your mouth over there.
Well, you already know what I'm giving him, so I'm at 5-5.
Let me see here.
You're giving him the win against ECU.
No, I think I gave him a loss, or I give SMU the win.
You gave SMU a win in this game?
Yeah, because they're at home. I looked at ECU's schedule. I'm pretty sure I gave ECU a loss in this game. So SMU wins. 5-5.
5-5 apiece. All right. Then, another tough – this is the tough one. And we said the mistake that we forgot to ask Austin on the last show was the factor – of playing in Annapolis when you play against Navy. So this game is at Navy. I'm already on the record saying Navy, I think, is going to be pretty terrible this year. So you know my prediction is
loss.
A win.
Oh. Yeah, I'll agree with you there. So they're at a bowl game.
They are at a bowl game. It's 6-5. We're both at 6-5.
I honestly thought the last game I was gonna have them the last game needing a win.
So did I, to be honest. So did I. I think Phil put some confidence into our picks now, because he said 7-5, and we're sitting at 7-5 right now, it could be. Or maybe.
We're this both at 6-5?
We're both at 6-5. You said win against Navy, right?
Yep.
And we're both at 6-5. We got there a little differently, but we're both there. All right, then the finale. I think this year, the two teams that heading into the season that are so similar in comparisons, it's these two teams, SMU and Tulane.
I feel like it's been like that since we started this podcast, you know? Those two teams have always, they're like right in the middle. They could be really good, but they're just kind of just stick right where we have them in the preseason.
Fair point. I think, I know heading into last year, especially, there was a lot of sleeper hype with Tulane. And I think maybe 1 year premature. Maybe this is the year Tulane is that sleeper team.
Maybe. Although we thought that last year.
Also very true. But I also thought the same about SMU making a bowl game last year.
I'm saying loss.
This is a tough one to do. This is a tough one.
6-6 for me.
You're at 6-6. Well, that gets them into a bowl game, so at least that's a positive note from last year. And so in my head, you know what's sticking in my head right now? Because we're getting ready to do these position previews. But Tulane's defense, I don't think we gave them enough credit last year. Or any year, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But sticking to my guns. 7-5. I'm with you, Phil. 7 wins for the Mustangs this year.
Good for you.
And you got 6-6. That'll put them in probably the Frisco Bowl, which is literally in Dallas, if I remember correctly.
Oh, great. I don't really care. More football is better.
Oh, I agree with that.
More football is always gooder, man.
As long as they put up a better showing than they did 2 years ago, the first game under Sonny Dykes. Yikes. That was miserable.
Yep.
All right, I guess that wraps up this episode on the SMU Mustangs. Joe, who's next up on our list?
Dude, shouldn't you know that? You're in charge of everything.
Oh, I got to make you do something.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it Tulane?
It's
either Tulane or USF, Mike.
Pretty sure it's Tulane.
All right. So maybe next week I'll change them, and all the haters will remind me that I picked SMU next week.
Doubtful. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got Tulane next week. That'll be fun.
All right, so, again, we want to thank Phil for joining the show. If you're not following PonyStampede.com, do so. Like he said, they are, I agree, one of the better SMU follows out there, and not just football. It goes from basketball, baseball, all sports there. Make sure you're doing that. And then, like Joe said, we're on to Tulane next week. We're going to keep it going with these previews. So, if you're not following the Underdog Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Apple, however you listen to all these things, there's a gazillion ways nowadays. Joe, how do you listen to us?
On my phone through, what do I have? Just a podcast app.
All right, I use Apple. Just curious. Everybody's using different things these days.
Doesn't matter how you listen, as long as you're listening.
Yeah. Is yours free?
Yep.
Oh, we need to talk once the show ends, because I'm paying for Apple. Not too thrilled about that.
Mm.
Hey, I need any dollars for me to go to Europe? Let's do it, buddy.
There you go. Do we need to start a GoFundMe for you?
Yeah, we might need a GoFundMe to get home. Yeah.
Nah.
Figured out how to get.
You can just stay there, and you have to do podcasts at 3 in the morning.
Podcast at 3 o'clock in the morning at Nonna's house. Yeah, she would love it.
What time is it over there right now?
So, what time is it here? It's 8, so it is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Perfect. That wouldn't be too bad.
Nah. Except for I couldn't guarantee I'd be sober at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's true.
All right. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of the Underdog Podcast. I'm Joe Serpico. You can follow me at Joe Serp. Joe is at Joe Broback. And then until next time. Yeah, I don't have anything good this time. Joe, give me something.
Why you always gotta put that on me, man?